Also, one more thing, church, before I share with you the word this morning. One more thing that I'd like to bring to your attention is that we need to keep praying for our brother and sister, Ben and Marge. Pray for them in their raising, their support for going to the mission field. I received a report from them that their estimates of current support is somewhere around 68 to 78% of what is required of them to be able to go. And they're really praying that the rest comes in so that they can register for the conference of new missionaries that are going to the field. There's a registration cutoff by the 30th of August, or there's one, let's see, the cutoff for the February one is the 6th of December. And as you know, of course, right now, it's probably very difficult to be raising support with level 4 lockdown at this time. Pray with them and just pray that God provides for their needs, that God will provide the support. Share with them. Let them know that you are also praying with them about this. Feel free to ask them questions of how things are going and what's going on. I know they'd love to share more with you. Before we go on into our message this morning, let's bow our heads in a word of prayer together and just ask God to guide us and lead us. Father, Lord in heaven, I thank you for Jesus Christ, first of all, who you sent to save us. You made the church, you called us together, and you gave us a mission. And that mission is to be witnesses. That mission is to make disciples, not just here, but everywhere. And Lord, I pray that we, your people, would have a heart for missions, that we would be faithful witnesses, and not only that, but that we would be credible witnesses. Move in our hearts today. Give us a greater love and a greater passion for you, our Savior, and a greater obedience to your calling on our life. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we say, amen. Okay, I may be calling on you from time to time to respond. Now, I can't hear you all respond, but you can anyway at home. Amen? I want to see lips moving. Okay. We're finishing off our missions month. And I want to begin, first of all, by saying that this isn't just about raising of our pledges. That's a part of what we do for missions. And it's an important part. This is how we are able to give so others can go. And we do this corporately as a body. Pledging is a part of it, to be sure. And today we're asking you in your heart to say, Lord, by faith, I am pledging to give this much per week to missions. And this is what we do every year. We're at home, so we can't hand in our cards and place them in the basket at the front. But this is something between you and God. But more than that, it's also about each of us just having a heart for missions, God's mission for the church. Last week, Jennifer read a story, and the story was called Some Go and Some Stay, But All of Us Must Obey. And that was repeated several times in the story, that sentiment, some go, some stay, all of us must obey. And that's our heart. That needs to be our heart. There was a song years ago done by a group called the Imperials. They sang gospel songs. Some of you may know the Imperials, some may not. But this song was called You're the Only Jesus. And in the song, the lyrics went like this. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. And you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. Because you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And this morning, nothing else, I want to get across to you this concept that you may be the only Jesus some will ever see. It's not that we are Jesus, not that we are perfect, but when the world looks at the people who belong to God, the people who are saved by Jesus Christ, they are getting an impression and they are reading our lives. And in that way, we may be the only Jesus they will see. So the question I'm asking and challenging you with is, what are they seeing? What are they seeing? The understanding is clear. We must show them what a Christ follower looks like. They will get their impression of Jesus from you, what you do, what you say, what your attitude displayed is. If a person is judgmental, always cranky, they will think this of our Savior Jesus, whether consciously or not. They get an impression because they're looking at you. If someone is hypocritical, they know that you go to church, that you claim to be a Christian, but they see you participating in everything that they do. They get an impression of Jesus. If you're unreliable at work, if you're unfriendly, and on it goes, people, the world sees this. And this is the impression of Jesus that is being given to them. Conversely, though, if they see a follower of Christ and they see an attitude of love, an attitude of acceptance, they see unique qualities of honesty, of righteous kind of living, this is also the impression of Jesus that they get from you. And this is what we want to be able to give to them. The first point I want us to look at this morning is this, the difference between a testimony and credibility. I've been thinking about this, and I think sometimes Christians use these two terms kind of interchangeably. We talk about having a good testimony with people outside the church, when what we're actually referring to is having credibility with people outside the church. There's a difference. If someone is living in sin and or they're being hypocritical in their life, that is, we say that we follow Jesus. We say that the Bible is our authority in matters, but yet we're not living that way. We refer to that often as that's a poor testimony. But what is really meant, I believe, is that is bad credibility. A testimony is different. Let me share with you a definition of testimony from the dictionary, Merriam-Webster. It says testimony. It's a solemn declaration usually made orally by a witness under oath in response to interrogation by a lawyer or authorized public official. Now, many people will understand this definition of testimony. We hear it. We hear this version regularly. In Christian circles, it's kind of taken on a new or a different meaning in some ways. But this is what a testimony really is. Everyone's familiar with a court scene. You've seen the television shows. Hopefully you haven't been in court too many times, but you've seen the television shows. And there's a trial and you got your lawyers, your solicitors, you got a jury, and you have the judge and you have the guards, the bailiffs and everything. But a witness is called to come and testify, to give a testimony. Sometimes the witness is for the person being accused. And sometimes it's a witness against the person who is being accused. But what is the first thing that an opposing solicitor will seek to determine when a person gives their testimony? They seek to determine, is the witness credible? Do they have a history of lying? If it's found out that they've been accused of false witness, false testimony before, their testimony is not credible and it's thrown out. Have they spread false testimony? What is their character like? Do they have good character in the community, in their workplaces, in their family? These are things that they will seek to determine with anybody's testimony. So listen, Christian, it may be possible for you to be a very good witness. You may even be consider yourself a professional witness, and you've memorized all the appropriate scriptures, and you're ready to share these scriptures with anyone who will listen to you. But one thing that is often neglected, or too often neglected, is the witness credible? Is the testimony credible? Let me share with you an example of a credible testimony. In Mark chapter number 5, in Mark 5, we read of Jesus healing a man. He went across the Sea of Galilee to a place called Gadarenes. And he found a man, and the man was a mess. He was possessed with demons. And in verse 2 of Mark chapter 5, we read that he lived amongst the graveyard, amongst the tombs. That's where he lived, and that's where he slept, and everyone thought he was just a crazy man. We see in verses 3 and 4 that he was wild. The people had tried to control him. They tried to chain him, but he had such strength that he broke the chains free. He was a wild man. We see in verse 5, he cried out night and day, and it says that he cut himself. So he inflicted self-harm on him, on himself regularly. This was what Jesus found when he went. Jesus had a talk with him. He communicated with him. He communicated with the spirits that were in him. And he commanded the spirits that were taunting him to come out. And we know this story, or many of us do. And the spirits came out, and they went into the swine, and they fell over the cliff. But I want you to notice something. After he was healed by Jesus, after he was saved by Jesus, he asked Jesus if he could follow him. He wanted to be with him, and who could blame him? Jesus brought him freedom. Jesus brought him salvation. But notice verse number 19. Is there a verse before this? This is verse 20, I believe. No. Okay. Well, if you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 5, verse 19. I think there's a mistake here. It says, however, Jesus did not permit him. There we go. The numbers are backwards, but that's okay. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Jesus gave him a commission. He says, no, you're not to come with me. It is better for you to go back to the people that you came from and be a testimony, be a witness, and tell them of what God has done for you, of what Jesus, the Messiah, has done for you. So he commands them to go be a testimony, give a testimony. But notice the next verse in verse 20, it shows 19 here. I think it's backwards. I don't think I'm backwards. I may be. I can be backwards sometimes. But it says, and he departed, the man, and began to proclaim in Decapolis all that Jesus had done for him. What are the next three words? Okay, this is where we come in together. Ready? Say it out loud. And all marveled. I hope you said it. And all marveled. So, what was the command of Jesus? To go back home to be a witness. Did the man obey Jesus? We see he obeyed. The next question, was the witness credible? It appears definitely so, because all marveled. All marveled. They wouldn't have marveled had the man claimed to have been saved by Jesus and set free, and yet he was still wild, living in the tombs and cutting himself and breaking the chains and crying day and night. But what they saw was someone worth marveling over. Someone was changed, and they saw it. They couldn't deny it. Someone who was living the message that the man was relaying to them. Jesus, the one, the Messiah. He set me free. You wouldn't believe what he has done for me. And they saw it and they marveled. That testimony had credibility. And that's what we need to show in our life. The second point I want us to look at is we are to be credible in our Bible doctrine. And then the last point will be we're to be credible in our lives. But let's take a look at our Bible doctrine. Okay, church, again, what is doctrine? Doctrine is simply a word that means teaching. It's our Bible teaching. The teaching that comes from the Bible. I mean, where else would we as a church want to get our teaching from? The Bible is our final authority on matters. And so we want to hear reliably, accurately, and rightly dividing the word of truth. What does the Bible have to say to us about life, about salvation, about eternity, everything that God has given to us? And so that's what we're talking about when we're talking about Bible doctrine. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Church participation. Read this with me, okay? Ready? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the word here for doctrine, it is didaskalia, which simply means, it just means instruction, information, it means learning, and it means teaching. All these things are aspects of this word didaskalia. And so Paul is writing to Timothy that the study of this book that we have called the Bible, this book that we have is a different kind of book to study, to get our doctrine, our teaching, our instruction from, because it's inspired by God. There's a lot of good writings out there, but this is different because God uniquely inspired men of God, holy men of God, who were moved by the Holy Spirit to put these words down. It's inspired. And as such, it has great benefit. And he lists these four items. First, it's useful for our doctrine. That is where we get our instruction, our teachings that God has given to us about life, about eternity. It's good for reproof. Another way to say this is it's conviction over something wrong. It's reproof. And there are times in our life where we need this regularly. Something's not right, and we read in God's word, and it reproves us. We see it's good for correction, and this word used for correction means straightening up again. And so as God shows us something not right in our life, he shows us how to get it right. And we maybe were veering off in a wrong direction, but the word of God shows us how to get it straightened up again and stay with the Lord, stay in fellowship with him. And we repent and we keep walking with our Lord. And then it shows us instruction in righteousness. That's guiding believers in the ways of God and how he wants us to live. How do we do this? How do we be credible in our Bible doctrine? Okay, the first thing I would suggest is that we need to be people of the book. People of the book. Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. Thank you. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men. By the way, who wrote the book of Acts? The book of Acts was written by, wasn't Paul. It was Dr. Luke the physician. And he wrote this very historical account of the dealings of God in the early New Testament church. And in this chapter, he described Paul's journey and how it contrasted in two places, Thessalonica, and the other place was Berea. Thessalonica and Berea. We read here that he went into the Jewish synagogue where the Jewish people met. The Jews knew the word of God. They knew the Old Testament. They knew the prophets. They knew the law. And so he reasoned with them Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the one they were waiting for. And so he shared with them. In Thessalonica, it wasn't received so well. They resisted it. It wasn't pretty. In Berea, they heard his message. And the scripture here says that the Bereans went home and they searched the scriptures every day to see if what Paul and the message that he was saying, the gospel, does it line up? Is it right? Is it true? And they searched it. And they were commended for their adherence to the word of God. They were people of the book. And so they were called more fair-minded or more noble for this behavior, for this attitude that they had. I've mentioned this before, but there was a time, a number of years ago in the early to mid-90s, that our church was going to change its name. We were called Howick Bible Baptist Church. And before we changed it to International Baptist Church, we had several other names that we were considering. One of them was this Berean Baptist Church, Berean Baptist. We didn't go with that for a number of reasons, but we were considering, let's call us Berean Baptist. You know why? Because we wanted to be known to be like the Bereans. We wanted to be known as people of the book, people who wanted to search the scriptures, people who relied on the scriptures. Now, whether we're called Berean Baptist or International Baptist, I like our name, International Baptist Church. We should have this reputation. When people hear that we go to IBC, oh, you're a member of that church. I want people to be able to know that's a church that takes the Bible seriously. Those are people of the book. I want us to have that kind of reputation. I want us to be known with the same reputation that the Bereans were known for and commended for. And I hope that you do too, but be people of the book. But secondly, hold on to sound doctrine. Hold on to it. Look at 1 Timothy 4:16. Paul writes to us here. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. That is the doctrine that you're learning, that you're teaching. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So Paul writes to Timothy, who was a young pastor himself, and he tells him to take heed to yourself and to your doctrine that you're teaching from the Bible. The word that is used for take heed literally means to hold on to or apprehend. That's what police do when they apprehend a criminal, is they grab on to him and they won't let him go. They apprehend him. They hold on. And that's this word here, to apprehend. It says, continuing in them, for in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. How do we save ourselves and others who hear? By continuing in the doctrine of the word. By holding on to the doctrines, the doctrines and the gospel itself. And that's where salvation is. We're saved by grace through faith, but the Bible says very clearly, how shall they believe without a preacher? We must hear the word of God spoken. We must hang on to our doctrine carefully. If we stray from the word, if we go into other things, we have nothing to offer and there's no credibility in our witness. Hold on to sound doctrine. Doctrine is important. And then thirdly, avoid those who teach a different doctrine. Be careful. Be careful. Be watchful. 2 John 1 verse 10, the Apostle John says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, and this doctrine is the doctrine the apostles brought, their teaching, the gospel that they brought to everyone, does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. Someone who's teaching the wrong doctrine, someone who is hasn't apprehended and held on to the doctrine of the word of God. Watch them, watch it. I've long been concerned of Christians who too easily accept speakers, teachers, writers, and whatever else, even though it can be shown, it can be seen that these espouse doctrines that are outside of this book, unbiblical doctrines, but yet there's a large audience for them. We need greater credibility. We need greater discernment than that. We need to be people of the book, people who hang on to doctrine, apprehend it, people who be careful and avoid those who teach a different doctrine. When we do this, when we aren't careful, we will lose credibility and we can become known as just those crazy Christians, crazy quacky people. That's not the reputation that we need. If we're going to be known as being quacky and crazy, then I want it to be because we clearly hold to the teaching of the Word of God, this book, and nothing else. And, you know, if they say it's crazy to believe in the resurrection, well, so be it. I understand that. But our message is we've apprehended the Word of God. That's our message. And we will stand on the Word. Thirdly, one more thing. We are to be credible in our living. I was talking last week with Pastor Mike, Brother Josh, and we were having a conference. And we had noticed that there was one church, we're not going to name names or anything, but there was one church that was mentioned as a place of interest because of cases that were coming out of it. And it was mentioned, though, a number of people who had been there, they were very involved with many things, not just even Sunday morning, but, you know, they had lots of activity in the church and they were involved. And those same people also were mentioned to be involved at going around the city to a number of nightclubs as well. And, you know, we thought about this and we're like, I wouldn't want our church name to be mentioned in such a way, because that damages the credibility that we have in our community. Credibility of a people who are changed, like that man from the Gadarenes who was genuinely changed and went back and said, you got to hear about Jesus and what he does. And they saw him and they said, you know, he has a credible message. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. I invite you to read this out loud where you are with me. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. What is the one thing that Paul says shows us as children of God, lights in the world? He mentions this. He says, do all things without complaining and disputing. That's it. This is what God, Paul mentioned. The point is, God has us here to shine to the world. We're to be the lights. We're to shine like stars in this world. And we can complain about the world. We can complain about darkness. But guys, that's when we shine the brightest, is when the world is dark. Shine. At work, when you go to work, you ought to shine. You shine as honest workers who aren't known to be ones who complain behind the boss's back to everyone else without complaining and disputing, or with our neighbors next door. Do they know us more as someone grumbling about things, grumbling about what's going on, grumbling about our government more than we talk of the joy of our Savior Jesus? At school, kids, you kids in school who are believers, you're Christians, you've been saved and baptized, we ought to be known as students who do their work to the best of their abilities. Again, without complaining, perhaps of the rules that you don't like. And the list of ways that we shine goes on and on. But we're to shine in this world, no matter what. That's our calling. I have a confession to make once again. I don't always make public confessions like this. It makes me kind of vulnerable. So I got to be careful. Amen. But a couple of months ago, my wife knows this, so it's not a confession to her. A couple of months ago, I was driving to the office along the back roads on my way. There was in the middle of the road, a gentleman in a nice police uniform. He smiled and waved me over to the side of the road. So you know what happened. Oh, my sin. I was doing 62 in a 50, but you got to understand it was downhill. It was really, you know, it was tough. 62. And I saw him waving. And right away, I know, and my heart sunk, and I had a couple of decisions to make. Step on the gas and try to, you know, get away from him as quickly as I could. Bad decision. Or pull over and see what the nice man wants. Maybe he just needed help with a tire or something. I don't know. But I pulled over, and he explained to me what I had done wrong. And it almost seemed like he was ready for me to argue, to give him a hard time. But instead, I ended up smiling. And after he gave me my ticket, my infringement, I said, I just want to thank you and all that you do for trying to make our community and our roads safer. And all of a sudden, he looked at me and he looked like surprised I even said that. And he just smiled back. And his countenance seemed to change. He said, thanks. And I ended up paying my $80 ticket on time as well as I needed to. Guys, we're to shine as lights in the world. How does it, maybe that's a bad example of shining as a light, driving too fast. I don't mean that. But I do mean in our interactions with people. How are we going to respond? How are we going to represent Christ? And when people know that you claim to be a Christ follower, you know, when even things like that happen, how do you respond? When you get poor service, poor customer service, or people treat you wrongly, or misunderstand you, or the boss gets on to you, or, you know, the list of challenges goes on. How do you respond? How will you respond? We're to be credible in our living. Why am I saying these things about credibility this morning? How is this mission-minded? Listen, no matter how well you've learned to share the gospel, you've memorized your Bible passages, you can discuss and you can argue about the atonement, the atoning sacrifice. You can talk about how Christ became our propitiation. We've brought that up in church as well. You can discuss and contrast the differences between justification and sanctification and the various levels of these things. But if we're a witness that doesn't have the credibility, then we've lost our witness. We've lost it. Your light won't shine brightly the way God wants us to shine. Would you bow your heads for a moment? Just bow our heads for a moment as we get ready to close. And I pray, I want to pray that God will give you the courage to be a witness. Yes, to be a witness. But I also want to pray that each of us sees the extreme importance of being a credible witness. Without it, our words are just noise. With it, we can show the power of Christ and what he does and how he can transform a life. Remember, there is a difference in a witness and in credibility. Also remember, we are to be credible in our Bible doctrine. And finally, we must be credible in our living, so that we can shine as lights, shine as stars in a dark world. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your word to us today. Lord, may we follow the example of that man that Jesus had set free and was told to go and testify to his people of what Christ had done for him. And he went, and the people marveled, for they saw credibility in his witness. So, Lord, may we live lives that are credible. May we witness. May we have credibility in our Bible doctrine. Hold on, apprehend the word, and avoid those who would change the word. And, Lord, may we have credibility in our living, in our lives. As we shine, may we shine in this world. May we do all things without grumbling, without murmurings, without complaining, and shine as lights in this dark world. And today, Lord, as we pledge in our hearts on this last week of missions, as we pledge in our hearts what we, Lord, believe you would have us to do, what to give weekly, specifically for the cause of missions, may this, Lord, be something from you, and may we reach our target, $111,600. Lord, may we together as a body reach that target for Christ. May we be faithful in all things. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Mike, I believe, for a couple of announcements before we're dismissed. Thank you, Pastor Mike.
Thank you, Pastor Ken, for the message this morning. Before we're dismissed, just a few announcements we'd like to share with you. First of all, concerning our worship services next Sunday, we're going to continue on in the formats that we have for the last two Sundays, which means that we'll have our Zoom app set up just like we did this morning, as well as Facebook live streaming. So either one of those two formats, you'll be able to join in with us. Also, we have coming up the Kids Club, staying around right after the church service this morning, and there'll be teachers and there's some story time and things that'll be happening with Kids Club. Also in the, also we'll have life group leaders. Make sure that you're able to contact your life groups through the week. Just check in with one another if you're able to meet for prayer time, and if you're able to have your life group meeting that way. Also, just continue to remember to pray for our missionaries, Bob and Celine Buster. That's our missionaries that we're praying for this week. And then, of course, our missions giving. Don't forget about the pledge that we'd like for you to share in with us. as we make our pledges for missions, and then we'll be able to support our missionaries for this next year at the amount that the Lord has laid on the church and the amount that the Lord has laid on our hearts collectively. Also, the Samaritan's Purse. Remember, Pastor Ken mentioned that at the very beginning of our worship service. If you'd like to donate to the Samaritan's Purse beyond what we're already giving as a church, then there you can see the website. It's the Australian New Zealand version of the Samaritan's Purse. And then that'll also remain on our church website through this week as well. Continue to pray for not only our missionaries, but pray for those to whom this Samaritan's Purse is going to be ministering to, the people in Afghanistan, not only the ones who are coming out of Afghanistan, but remember there's also lots of believers that are in that country as well. And we're quite certain that they'll be going through some difficult times. So please remember them in prayer for this week and the next coming weeks also. Perhaps you're celebrating a birthday or a wedding anniversary, and we would like to celebrate that with you. Down in the chat format at the bottom of the page, you can be able to type in your birthday or your anniversary, and we can respond to you. We can respond to you by typing in that with you. So some are putting in now. For those of you who have birthdays this week, happy birthday to you. From those of you who have anniversaries this week, God bless you as well, and happy anniversary to you. So I think that's all of our announcements that we have to share with you this morning. Otherwise, I'll turn it back over to Pastor Ken for a closing prayer and final thoughts before we're dismissed. Pastor Ken?
Thank you, Pastor Mike, and happy birthday to those of you. I saw Adora's birthday today. I just want to check, Jen, is it today that we have the kids stay on, or is it not today? Just want to double check. Jennifer, Harry.
Okay. We weren't having story time and things like that, but if they want to hang around and visit, it's good. They can hang around and visit. But we are in the process of working for a special place just for the children's ministry. So it just takes a while to get all the technology together and all the curriculum and everything.
Okay, thank you, Jen. So yeah, kids, if there's any kids club kids that would like to stay and have a bit of kids club fellowship time, you're welcome to, and we'll keep you on for a few minutes afterwards. Let's go ahead and bow our heads in prayer, and remember today, you know, in your heart, you know, just make a commitment. Lord, what is it that you would have of me to give for missions on a weekly kind of basis this year? And make that pledge in your heart. Later, perhaps when we're back together, we can find out more of what that pledge is and have a better understanding. But our goal this year is to get that $111,600 for missions. Let us pray together. Lord in heaven, thank you for our time together. Thank you for the singing time, the testimonies, and our focus around the word. Thank you, Lord, for your calling on our lives to missions. And I pray, Lord, that this year we can even do more for the cause of missions globally in other places that we aren't, but that we would also see ourselves as missionaries where we are and be witnesses and be credible witnesses at the same time, Lord. May we shine in this world as lights, and may people see our testimony and give you glory for it. May we also, Lord, this year achieve our stated goal of our target of $111,600 for missions. And I pray that together that we will look back and give you thanks and praise you that we managed to achieve that goal in the coming year. Dismiss us now with your blessings, we pray. And may we, Lord, have a good week, be with each home. And I know many are stuck in their homes right now, but I pray that you would be with them, that they would grow, that they, Lord, would keep their eyes on you, and that they would grow closer to you and be more involved in your word, and be careful of who they listen to and what they allow into into their life as far as teaching, especially, Lord, if it's another doctrine that doesn't adhere to your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us in this. In Jesus' name. And we say together, amen. Amen. Feel free, stick around, say hello to anyone. And kids, you can have some fellowship time with Miss Jen and your teachers in just a moment if you would like to. Thank you. God bless you. You are dismissed.